No, not you. I'm going to talk about it. You don't tell a story half as good as I do. I wasn't even there. I was born a storyteller, though. I came out my mom's womb talking about all her fucking crazy stories about how I'm not related to her. Hey, when you're in a bitch for 9 months, you remember everything she says. She's fucking retarded.
I heard everything.
This story really turned. So anyways, Nat is helping my sister. See all these fucking huge suitcases right here?
Yeah.
My sister is on a what normal people would consider a five-day vacation, but she has to completely relocate.
This particular one, you can fit at least two midgets in.
There's probably one whole person in there. And so she's got to get to San Diego to visit family because she's down here for the wedding, right?
Right.
So we get her train tickets to go to San Diego because we can't drive. We don't have a small school bus to drive all her luggage to San Diego. So Nat takes her to Fullerton to the train station.
Yep.
To get on the train and just go to San Diego. Trains are simple. There's no exits, no turns, nothing you got to fucking worry about, right?
Yeah. You just get on.
Okay. Nat is helping her with the kids get on the train. They decide that the best way to help would to be to get on the train and then bring the belongings to follow them. Instead of letting the belongings lead the way into the train, they get on the train.
They board the train first and then try to drag their luggage.
That's a great word. Yeah, they board the train. So the doors close and then they're like, hey, the fucking trees are moving. No, the trees haven't moved in 30 years. The train is now
in motion.
Yeah, so they got on the train.
And left the bags behind because they were still outside the door?
No, the bags were in there too, but they got a... You said the story wrong. Yeah, the story's all fucked up. Anyways, they were supposed to help her get on the train, and they got on the train to help her get on the train, and I guess they thought that there was like a train runway, that the train would head to the runway before the train leaves.
Oh, yeah, no.
But the train took off with them in it. And so they were stuck on the train. The kids are freaking out. Nat's like, Desi goes, I wish my dad was here. He'd know what to do. And she's like, I got it. I'm going to call your dad. So she calls me, and I'm like, well, like, it sounds so silly to me. Like, why would you get on a train that you're not going on?
So just let me know when you get to San Diego then.
Yeah. And I was like, and those tickets were $30 a pop. So I hope you got a $100 bill on you.
Yeah.
Everything was in the car.
And they got lucky.
I just had a key and a phone.
So wait, so did you go to San Diego?
No, the next station was Anaheim. The conductor let her off. And then she got very lucky because the next train coming back to Fullerton was only 2 minutes later. After that one train had been an hour and a half. I don't know if you've been to that train station. It's the one in Anaheim Stadium.
Yeah.
There's nothing around.
Yeah.
They would have sat there.
It's pretty to look at.
Well, we're driving by, not for an hour and a half.
That's true.
But that story wasn't funny at all.
The comment of midgets fitting in the luggage, that was pretty funny.
Yeah. But you're saying that because you said that.
That's true.
You silly goose. We're going to edit all this shit out, right?
Yeah. But this was pretty
worth it. Is this the part where we play the music?
Cue the music.
The Social Nuisance Podcast.
No. Oh, shit. Okay, bitches, you guys are going to be mind blown.
Oh, we're going to Pound Town. We're going to Pound Town.
Yeah.
They're podcasting.
We're podcasting right now.
Social Nuisance.
Social Nuisance Podcast. How you guys doing? My name is Imagine.
He's a badass motherfucker.
Social Nuisance Podcast. What the fuck is up, motherfuckers? Welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast. As always, your favorite bottom biller, Imagine, and partner in rhyme, Motion. How you doing?
What up? Talking through my beard now that I found out it smells like Fajin. I want to be a bottom something.
Memories. Well, according to your new wife, you're the just the bottom.
I've been the bottom, the top, the sideways, the our bed is not it's like this.
Again, no one can see.
Oh yeah, fuck! I forgot, listeners. Our bed is not level. It is
slanted.
A pretty heavy slant towards Nat's side.
Okay.
And it's because I came home from work early one day.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
No, I mean. Oh man,
broke that shit.
So you got married this weekend, man. Fucking congratulations.
Thanks, man. Just the M word really freaks me out now. Dude, I was freaking the fuck out that morning. I was losing my shit. I didn't know how to behave whatsoever.
Like, so apparently you went missing. What the fuck happened with
that? No, I didn't go missing. I was in the groomsmen room. I never left. So, okay. It starts. The wedding day was planned perfectly.
Like, word got out that you went missing.
The word was fucking wrong. Word got out. We had a good DJ too. So, the wedding was planned in this way. The day, my day, was set like this. I made my haircut at 9 a.m.
Okay.
Okay. We got a room the night before in Ontario, me and a couple groomsmen, and we were going to get up at 8.
Yeah.
Head over to get the haircut. By then, the girls were going to leave the house, so I was going to come to the house, load up the truck with any last decorations.
Yep.
We were going to kind of hang out, have lunch here, and then head over and be at the venue by 1.
I feel like you would be a supreme decorator, by the way.
No. Well, I mean, I'm pretty dope at everything I do, you know? So I'm supreme at anything I try. So then we were going to take the decorations, and then everybody was going to get suited there. I had already set the suits there, so if everything was good to go, right? The night before, the tent and chairs and tables were supposed to be there.
Right.
That was at 2 p.m. the day before.
2 p.m.
2 p.m. became 7 p.m. 7 p.m. became 9 p.m. At 9 p.m., they said, we'll be there in 20 minutes. 40 minutes after that, 9:40, they're like, oh, we're outside. We call them like, oh, turns out we're not outside. We're in Santa Ana, and we'll be there in about an hour. And now where we got married is a home, not a venue. And I was like, hey, dude, you guys can't show up here at 11 o'clock at night. And start unloading shit, because you can piss off the neighbors tonight and the wedding's tomorrow. We got to give them one good night of rest. You know what I mean?
At least.
Yeah. So I said, why don't you guys just come back? And we're like, we're not fucking coming back in the morning, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, listen here, you son of a bitch. I personally know Iron Man. I'm going to fuck your shit up if you stress my wife out. So they were like, we'll be there at 5 a.m. And they thought that they were like toucheing me, like, oh, your move, bitch. I was out there at 4:45 a.m. Like, what's up, motherfucker? I'm here. Let's get this shit built. So instead of sleeping in till 8 and going to get a haircut.
Yep.
My day actually started at 4 a.m. when I hopped in the shower to be at the venue by 4:45 to welcome the tent people who fucked up the night before and kept fighting and fighting and fighting with me instead of saying like, hey, dude, we fucked.
Did they show up at 5?
Yeah, they showed up at 5.
Okay, good.
So, but now because I told them like, you have to come back the next morning, they showed up with a shitty attitude and they're like banging shit around, throwing shit. And I told Ricky, because they conveniently only spoke Spanish by the time I arrived, but they were speaking to Andy in English.
Yeah.
So I told him, I was like, hey, dude, you need to go tell them. And I'm trying, before we pulled up, Ricky was like, hey, whatever happens, let it go. Let it go. Like, he knew, like, you're going to fucking snap on these people, and then we're going to be shopping for tents and chairs and tables and shit today. And I already had a backup plan. I was like, dude, the homie at City Rentals.
I already got it.
Dude, I'm ready to tell these people to fuck off. So then he calms me down. He's like, whatever you want to do, like, just go to me first. So I do that. And they're like banging, yelling, making all kinds of fucking noise. I was like, hey, dude, like, it's 5 a.m. It's not even sun up. Like, can you go tell them, like, to tone it down?
Just
you know?
Kind of mellow out. Yeah.
Just to be considerate. Like, we're going to have a fucking wedding. I just feel like we're going to aggravate the fuck out of the neighbors the day before the wedding.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he goes over there and he's like, maybe because it's 4 a.m. And we went to sleep at like 2 the night before and never really fell asleep. So I was going on like an hour of pretend sleep. So he goes up to them and tells them in Spanish, because he couldn't think of the words to say, hey, you need to turn your volume down.
That's fair.
That was the Spanish translation of what he said. I was like, I could have gone over there and said something ruder in English. So then they end up like, oh, okay, whatever. We're there till about 8:30. Yeah. Then we jut to go do the haircuts. So we've set up the chairs and the tables, hand decorated them. That was Daisy. But we laid out kind of a general layout. So like we did hard labor from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m.
So this is all before you went missing.
I didn't go missing. But I'm just saying, this is lead up to that. This is lead up. This is the day by day breakdown. This is what happened to OJ the day he killed that lady, and they were asking him about what happened.
And then he went missing.
Yes.
He was in jail.
Uh-huh. But he got out.
Juice is loose.
The juice. So then we go get our haircuts, which was chill. After the haircuts, we come back to the house, and I'm like, I'm going to try to take a nap. Of course, that didn't work. So hop in the shower, head down to the venue. And at the venue, that first shower at 4 a.m.
Yeah,
is the first time stopped, because we're paying for everything ourselves.
Right.
And then so I tried to build as much as I could build, and I tried to take care of my customers. And then I was just nonstop. The past 3 weeks, I was working 18 hours a day.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's getting shit done.
Yeah. So leading up to, so it never hit me, and I didn't get to enjoy the process of making this happen.
I don't think anyone really enjoys the process of.
I kind of do. Like,
I'm ready for this shit to be over.
Yes. So was I. So, 4 a.m. I'm in the shower.
Yeah.
Everything stops. Fucking hit me. Like, oh, I'm legit getting married today. from then on, I didn't even know in my person I owned a freak the fuck out meter, like in my body.
Yeah.
And that motherfucker was redlining like 10,000 RPM, freaking the fuck out, dude.
Why?
The whole, I don't know, dude. I guess at that point it was kind of like,
with everything forever. Physical,
it wasn't really, it really wasn't the wedding. Like, it wasn't, I mean, the matrimony. It right. wasn't that. It was, one was like, I got to pull this fucking wedding off, you know? Like, I had just enough cash to pay everybody off.
Right.
And then, so I was like, fuck, that was one concern. And then just things, the DJ wasn't there, some family was late, and I didn't have the ability to perceive the beauty of it all in the moment.
That's fair.
So as
That's
I'm looking fair. Around the yard that we had it at, I'm like, it just doesn't look wedding to me.
Doesn't look wedding-ish.
You know, it's like, it's just not happening.
Where the fuck are my flowers?
So I'm full-blown freaked the fuck out. And in my head, I'm aware enough to know, like, what's done is done.
True.
You know, and I should be able to be at ease. But I'm not. I'm like halfway into putting my tux on. And all the groomsmen are getting dressed, and like everyone's kicking it. No one has ever seen me like this. I'm usually the cool, calm, collected one until it's time to snap.
Right.
No one has ever seen me freaking the fuck out the way I was. Halfway into getting my suit on, I fucking tilted the couch, cleared everybody's shit off it. Everybody looked at me like, "What the fuck?" And I just laid down. I was like,
I'm just gonna lay here.
I'm pausing. Grab a seat, brother. I was like, I need to chill, and I just sit there. I'm like laying down, and I tell my brother like, "Hey, Mijo, go get me like a glass of ice or something." So he goes, gets me ice water and ice. I'm like, relaxing, pop back up, start getting dressed, and then I'm like, fuck, I never wrote down my vows. I have my vows written in my phone, but I'm not taking my phone out, so now I gotta write my vows down.
Well, you're more of a freestyler anyways, right?
No, I'm not. I'm not a freestyler at all. I don't even know. That's the furthest thing from me. But then I, so we start writing my vows down. Then we had problems with the PA, but the PA worked the night before. So we knew we're fucking this up, not the PA.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's capable of working.
Yes, right. And you were a part of fixing that. Okay, right, good. Weren't you? Were you on the PA?
I touched some knobs. Okay. I plugged some shit in, whatever.
So
it turned on.
Then, like, and all this shit's missing. And all I could think was, like, the wedding's an hour late now. Like, people have been there. They were expecting at 4. It's 5 now.
Right.
And, like, I told the owner of the home, who was also my officiant, who's also one of my dear friends, I said, like, what are we waiting on? And he's all, well, pardon, Nat's family is in here. I said, go tell her. We lost our wedding pictures because we can't take, it's dark now.
Yeah.
We can't take any pictures. And then he looks at me, he's like, you want me to go tell Natalie she lost her wedding pictures? And I was like, no, don't fucking do that. What's the matter with you? Why would you tell her that? He was like, everybody's got it. Like, you just do your part.
Yeah.
So then he says, when I tell you to go, me, you, and your best man, we're going to walk out and we're going to wait right there and everyone's going to come down. I was like, okay, cool. So then he's like, all right, it's time to go. Let's go. So we go to walk out. I'm like, hey, there's no music. We had walkout music. So my brother downloaded the walkout music on my phone. So I open my phone and I'm expecting to see the music. And then I'm like, it's not there.
Wow. I can see why you're kind of stressed out during the whole event there.
Dude, I was freaking the fuck out. Right here to my right is the homeboy Javi.
Yeah.
I've known him since he was knee high to a duck. He's my little brother's best friend.
Knee high to a duck.
Knee high to a duck. You know how tall ducks stand?
No, not very tall. Yeah. Unless you're like using the ones like in Fantasyland. What is it called? The storybook canal boats? Yeah, that like the miniature castles and shit, and then you put a duck on it and it looks fucking huge.
Yeah, but they don't have knees. If they did have knees, Touché. The knees still Touché. Wouldn't be that high.
Judges? They do not have knees.
You see?
Just fucking blew my mind.
So
dude,
I know,
science!
I've known this dude since like he was in kindergarten. And he's about, what are you like, Mijo, like five, six months younger than me? So anyways, we go, he's not. He's like 5 years younger than me. Or, no, 10 years.
We're just going
10 years younger than me.
You're fucking old, bro.
Yeah, he's 10 years younger than me. That makes you nine years old. He's 9 years old. No. So, like, he comes down to the groomsmen room. He's looking at me like I know how he feels about me. I'm like his idol. You know what I mean? He fucking worships me. Like, he doesn't pray to Jesus. He prays to me every day. And I'm sitting there fucking sweating bullets, dude, freaking out, like, trying not to show him that, you know, like, he thinks of me like how people see Gerard Butler in 300. Like, that's his life, dude. Every day he wakes up and he's like, I want to be like Bobby and just piss his excellence every day, you know? Yeah. So, but there
he's,
I was.
He's like nodding like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there I was like a regular fucking person. Oh, so anyways, music's missing. So I go, hey, you guys got to find my brother. Oh, I call for my dad. I'm like, hey, can someone get my dad? Because my dad, to me in my head, is this like, My dad and I don't agree about shit, but when I look at him, I see strength. I'm like, oh, my dad's a strong man. Came from nothing, built himself up, does well. You know, a man of reason. Not, we don't agree about shit, but still feel like that he's a man's man.
Okay.
So I'm like, someone go get my dad. So one of the groomsmen come back with my dad. My dad comes in. He's like, what's up? What's going on? I was like, I'm just freaking the fuck out. He's like, well, about what? Like, you think you're making the wrong decision? I'm like, no, not at all. Like, I'm completely comfortable with what I'm about to do. I'm just like full blown panic attack after panic attack after panic attack, anxiety, like just bad.
But you've thrown events before, right?
Yeah. So it wasn't that, it was just the culmination, I guess. I don't know. Everything was on our shoulders, you know?
Okay, that's fair.
And so at that point, he said something. I don't know to this day what he said, but it was one of those insanely obvious pieces of advice. Like, if you turn the key, the car's gonna start, son. You know, something like that.
Thanks for the word of advice, Dad.
Yeah. And I was just like,
he grabs his whiskey and then just walks out the door.
I was like, can you just stand there? Like, just. It's like, all right.
What the fuck do I do with that advice?
And that
freaks you out even further.
Yeah, we look out the window. I'm like, you see that tree right there, Dad? And he's like, yeah. I was like, that fucking tree could have gave me better advice than what you just gave. But I didn't need advice. I just needed to. I put him in a shitty position because it's like, well, what do you want from me? And I'm like, I don't fucking know, dude. Like a scratcher or something. I don't know. Give me a winning lottery ticket.
I would also accept that. Like, Dad, I'm freaking out. The fuck you want me to do? And then grab his whiskey and walk out the door.
You're fucking right. Thanks, Pops. No, but and Pops was good to me. I'm not talking bad about him. But
No, he was awesome, man. He was fucking super supportive.
We walk out and I'm like, oh shit, there's no music. So then I'm like, hey, someone get my brother. So they run, find my brother, bring him. I'm like, where's the music? And he's like, I thought I downloaded it for me. I was like, I don't need thought. Like, did you download it or not? He's like, I'm pretty sure I'm like, give me your fucking phone. Cause his phone, I knew where it was. So I grab his phone, put it in, and then he finds it, puts it back in my phone. And then a friend of mine that is cracks under pressure anywhere is right there. I'm like, hey dude, press this button on the phone. And he's like, ah. So he presses like 2-3 times, song starts, restarts, doesn't start, starts back again, starts back at that, starts at the end, starts at the middle, then goes back, and then the screen closes. And he's like, I don't know your password. I was like, there's no fucking password. So opens it back up, starts again. So then I look up from dealing with the PA, and all the groomsmen and bridesmaids had walked out. And I was like, I'm going to walk out with the fucking bride. So I run out, and then I'm waiting there, and then she comes out, and then nothing else mattered.
Beautiful.
Yeah. But at no time was I missing. Daisy found me when the cake lady came. She's like, the cake lady wants her money. I'm like, yeah, I don't even remember how much I don't know how much I owe her. I don't know how much I owe her.
Did you even get to eat any of the cake? Did you eat it all?
No,
question.
I did not eat it all.
I fucking knew it.
I had a full plate on my table.
Me and Daisy were talking like, you know, I remember Bobby like grabbing a plate of food and giving it to Natalie at some point in time.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if you ate it, but I know she gave it to you. Okay, she didn't eat it. Okay.
She was trying to serve me with her dress and her long tail. I was like, babe, go sit down. I'll go get us plates. So I went and got us plates, and there they sat.
Yeah. And
they looked great.
They were delicious.
Yeah.
They were... Oh.
Was it good?
Yeah, I almost put my dick in it. It was so good.
Oh my God, you're lucky I didn't eat it then. You guys would have turned back and I would have my dick in my food. If you almost did it, you knew for a fact I would have done it.
That's true. It's like American pie. Yeah. Just American pie, just fucking the cake, dude. It was a great wedding. I had a great time. I showed up a little late. Daisy was there just bossing the whole day. Like
that was something I wanted. Shit. When I showed up, we had done the layout. And then when I came out, everything was decorated beautifully.
Yeah.
And it's because of Daisy.
Shout out,
thank
Daisy.
Thank you, Daisy, for all your help.
Ooh.
And Julie and I could not thank you enough. Dude, I asked you to MC the event because you're familiar with Natalie and I. And I figure there's some good, heartfelt, genuine things. And I know how articulate you are on the microphone.
I just read from a paper, to be honest.
Dude, but no, not just that. You ran the fucking show, like the gamut. You took care of the whole entertainment aspect from beginning to end. It blew me away. I did not mean to bestow upon you that much responsibility. But then I'm super fucking glad that if anybody was going to be there to pull it off, it was going to be you, dude.
Goddamn right it was.
It was cool.
And you know what, man? I just saw an opportunity that a friend needed help.
I did, dude. Desperately.
A friend needed help. And at that point, there's no fucking question. There's no about like, oh, I hope I get to eat tonight. Hey, do I get a drink? What matters at that point is your friend needs help. You drop what the fuck you're doing, especially on the fucking wedding day. If you're at your friend's wedding and your friend needs you for whatever reason, you drop whatever the fuck you're doing and you're there. That's all that matters at that point. So I saw the opportunity, like, okay, well, I think I can help with this. I think I can help with that. I'm pretty good at this. And it, again, like you said, just culminated into I took on that and I took on this and I took on that. And not once did I think about like, oh, like I should probably go sit down with Daisy because I knew Daisy was fine. She had friends there anyways. I mean, her and Natalie and then that group of friends, she was occupied. And she had food and drinks, so she was fine.
Leading up to that moment, like before the wedding, the swell of support and love from everybody that we, all of our close family, all of our close friends, all of our outside friends, and then like even just people on Facebook, like that feeling of love that came from everybody, and it was a huge part of the moment. Like, it felt amazing to finally be someone in my life, because I've come from being such a terrible person that I'm the first one to admit, to being someone that, like, all these people will love and support.
Fuck
and,
yeah.
And in the time of me, you know?
Yeah, they show up for you, and they're like, we're here for you.
Dude, it was fucking amazing. I mean, I had family fly from Arkansas, and Nat had family from New Mexico. We had family from Washington.
That's awesome.
And then friends who changed their daily lives around to be there. And it just the whole, it was an insane feeling of just love and support It was, your wedding is life-changing, but outside of the wedding was also life-changing. Like, it honestly was amazing. It took me back. I did not know how to behave whatsoever. I just, the only thing I kept saying to myself, don't fuck this up, don't fuck this up, don't fuck this up, don't fuck this up. You know, like, just don't say something stupid, don't do something stupid. But then everybody's there because they, like, want you to be your, they love me, you know, be yourself.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but be yourself without saying some dipshittery, you know what I mean? Like,
be yourself, but don't totally be yourself. Yeah, just a little bit.
It was intense, man, running on no sleep, and you know, there was some drama during the wedding with the DJ, and I relieved the responsibility of handling it with you, because you had it under control, and you volunteered to have it on. You stepped up for me.
Yeah.
Where I feel like I made the mistake was I surrendered our votes to other people, and whatever they decided, I was going to let them decide it. And I think that I make this mistake often in life, where I give up, even like, I'm not the gangster in me, but kind of the gangster in me, to someone who I consider a better decision maker. And then in that situation, in that moment, was when I needed to scare the fuck out of that person because they're trying to steal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I needed to be me at that moment and get that fucking person out of the situation.
Yeah.
Instead of surrendering my vote to someone who I know is extremely compassionate, extremely loving, and would never tell that person would let you rip the shirt off their back, not give it to you.
Yeah.
And then just act cool with you after. And I shouldn't have given that person power in that moment.
So what you're saying is, at the end of the day, you should have done the drive-through Vegas wedding.
Not drive-through. I don't know.
I mean, it's efficient.
From what I hear,
can I just get the number 5 package, please? That'd be great.
With the cups, and Brian Callen does it with a Middle Eastern accent. No. So from what I hear from everybody who's ever thrown a wedding, is that you don't spend much time with your bride or the groom that night. You definitely don't fucking eat, and really, your wedding outside the ceremony is not about you. It's about all the people that came to get 2 minutes with you, to talk to you, to tell you they love you, and to get a picture of you. So we kind of were the standard bride and groom in that sense. Like, we worked the crowd the whole time we were out, and we were selfless in that moment. But it's because all those people were so selfless for us to show up. You know, we set stipulations. You can't bring your fucking kids.
Yeah.
We, you know, we asked things of people, and they delivered. So now, like, yeah, you want a picture of me? Whatever, like, I don't need to eat right now. And in that sense, it was something, I guess that's how they go, you know? So now that I've gone through this experience, being your groomsman, I'm going to make sure that I get you a moment to, like, I'll probably have a bag of goodies in a backpack hidden somewhere, like, hey, dude, you're not going to get to sit down and eat your plate, so I brought you these chips real quick. Here, no one's looking, you know what I mean? Like,
shut up and fucking chew.
Little things like that. Now that I've been through it, like, I can see, like, oh, this is where he's going to need help with that. This is where he's going to need help. Like, and we're going to make sure that...
I think one other thing too is that with your request with not bringing kids, I kind of feel the same way with me and Daisy's wedding. We requested also, like, don't bring kids.
Yeah.
I feel like it was kind of a dick thing to do. Like,
it's,
hey,
not.
Exclude your family.
No.
Because we don't want the kids there. But now that I think about it, I don't want the fucking kids there.
No, it's not a dick thing to do, dude. If there's, like, a moment for you to be selfish, it's your wedding day. But also, like, okay, people, and they're always going to say like, oh, well, you don't want to spend the money on food for a kid. I get it. Like, no, I said from day one, I will take all your fucking kids to Chuck E. Cheese the day after wedding if it makes you feel better. It's not about the food. It's not about the money. It's not about that. It's about the fact that in our ceremony, I don't want your fucking kid crying.
I just want no crying.
You know what I mean? And when the adults are dancing, we knew we were going to have a big band. We planned that from day one to get this big band.
Yeah, which was dope, by the way.
I didn't want some little kid fucking jumping around in the middle of the way when people are trying to swing dance.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I didn't want these variables. I just wanted it to be an adult night. And Natalie had a genius way of phrasing it like, hey, you know what? With this heads up, we want you to make it a date night for you guys. We're going to provide the perfect date. We're going to take care of bomb food. We're going to give you guys a live band. There's going to be a dance floor. If you wanted to go on a date and you haven't gone on a date in a year because you got a newborn,
that's fair.
This is the best fucking date. We're going to provide that for you. Just leave your kids somewhere.
That's true.
And we give you plenty of notice.
Chuck E. Cheese or some shit. I don't know.
And if you're going to try to tell me it's about money, I'll buy your kid dinner. I'll buy your kid a gift. It's not about the fucking money. It's just about like, why can't we just have an adult night? Yeah. Why, you know, like, let's just have an adult night.
Yeah. And it was, man. I feel like it was a fucking great night, man. And what was it? The Pachuco Jose?
Pachuco Jose, yeah.
Oh, man. Look them up, dude. Google that fucking band right there. Pachuco Jose.
The band is Pachuco Jose y Los Diamantes, but that's his big band. He also has, he cuts his band down to size for.
Scale it back.
Yeah, for different events and different venues, because we wouldn't have been able to accommodate the full band.
Yeah.
But it's Pachuco Jose. Great fucking dude, man.
He was like, such a cool guy, man.
Dude, so cool. And you know what? We know each other through reputation because of the rockabilly scene. Yeah. So he knows my club. Everybody in the scene knows him. And he made himself so available, dude. He lives off his art. And once you get to that level, you're not always that kind.
You make a lot of accommodations.
Yeah, you know, and he made himself so fucking available. He answered every question at the drop of a dime. Worked with me on a deposit. You know, he just did what he had to do to make it happen. And really, he didn't have to. You know what I mean?
If you could have any other band play your wedding, what band would it be?
That's a great question. I've never thought about that. You're talking about like famous or any band?
Any band. Any musician.
So my primary band, and not bullshitting, not being biased, would have been Pachuco Jose. Like if I could pick any band, it would have been him. And I wish that I could have paid him what he deserved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I paid him what he asked, but I wish that at the end I was like debating, you had already taken off. I wanted to say at the end of the party, like, hey, you know, Jose came out and he worked with me to get him here.
Yeah.
But I was only able to pay him what we agreed on in the end.
Right.
If you had a good time, tip him.
Yeah.
But then I didn't, is that tacky?
No, it's like the same way of like, hey man, you enjoy your drink, tip your bartenders.
Yeah, so I didn't know how to get that out. And the way I was saying it, I felt like it was tacky, and I asked someone else and they're like, it's kind of weird the way, but we didn't have time to think it out.
It's a weird situation, but I mean, it's the thought that counts.
Yeah, so if you were at my wedding and you're a fan of Pachuco Jose and you enjoyed him dancing, Facebook message me right now. I'll give you his PayPal. Shoot him $20 for me, please. Give him a tip. Like,
yep.
Show him some love. Because
does he have like albums and stuff on his website?
Yes, he does.
Just go buy his fucking album.
Yep, that you could buy. You could see him at so many shows. And I mean, dude, like stand up fucking guy. Not only did he just go, first of all, he started early.
Yeah,
he played longer than he had to. He accommodated us because we were supposed to have a DJ for like the money dance. And we didn't have a DJ anymore by then. So he goes, hey, you know what? I have the perfect song. It's a love song about meeting someone, but it's only like 3 minutes long. I'm going to loop it around till no one's in line. No one's in line for you guys. He played a fucking 7-minute song. And that's how in tune he is with his band. When you're in a band, you can look back at the drummer and the drummer can look at the bass player and you can all feel each other, you know? Incredible stand-up bass player, some young lady rocked it out.
The whole band was fucking great.
Taking
man.
Requests all, towards the end.
Yeah, they were super dope.
You know, we fed them.
Yeah. If I could have any band play my wedding, it would be fucking Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, man, your wedding?
No, I'm fucking lying. I'm only bringing that up because Stone Temple Pilots have a new fucking singer, man.
Yes.
They're back on the scene.
You fucking segued me,
I did segue. You see that shit? That's fucking professional shit.
I'm going to start wearing a football helmet to these fucking things because that was full speed. So
Stone Temple Pilots have a new singer, man. I would... Scott Weiland.
But they didn't announce him.
Fucking Scott Weiland. Huh?
They didn't announce the new singer. So what they did was they booked a gig. And they're selling tickets, but they haven't announced the new singer. So to you, does that mean that he's a famous person or a not famous person?
Well, I read the story. I know who he is now.
Oh, it already happened?
It already happened.
Okay, go pretend. Let's go back. Pretend. Okay. Because originally they booked it and sold tickets without releasing his name. Would you think he was famous or not?
I would think he was be somewhat famous.
That's what I would think too. Because if he was a no-namer, you would just say his name, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So who'd it end up being?
Some no-namer.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
No, I think he's an alternative singer. I forget his fucking name. But it was just fucking crazy. I'm like, holy shit. Like,
did you hear any of it or anything?
No, they didn't allow like cameras and all that shit.
I'm a huge Scott Weiland fan.
I fucking love Scott Weiland. And then I wasn't sure when Chester took over, I wasn't sure how that would feel because, you know, Scott Weiland is such a dynamic singer in his own right, and then Chester's in his own lane.
Yes.
Super weird.
I thought Chester covered vocally, but you can't write like Scott Weiland.
Yeah. So it's super weird, but it made me think about that fucking movie, that Mark Wahlberg movie, where he was like a cover band singer, but then he got picked up by the actual band that he was. Like,
I never saw
up.
It.
I never saw it, but I fucking knew about it. Uh-huh. And it made me think about that. I was like, dude, like we all grow up with our favorite bands and singing along. Like, oh man, imagine if I could like do this with my band. That'd be fucking sick. And then just like it happened for this guy. I mean, Stone Temple Pilots, man. That's a fucking staple of the 90s.
Yeah.
Scott Weiland's band, the DeLeo Brothers, man. Fuck yeah.
Scott Weiland is incredible, man.
So I can only imagine what it feels like to like, holy shit, I'm now leading the Stone Temple Pilots. Like, fuck. If you could lead a band, what band would you want to lead?
Oh, fuck. If I could lead a band, I would want to lead. Oh, but that also means imminent fucking, like, I would be the demise of the band because I'm picking the band because of how dope they are. But also, I could never be as dope as Zach De La Rocha. It would be Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, man.
I would love to lead Rage Against the Machine.
That'd be fucking sick, man.
That would be the band. Because I know I'm not going to fool myself. I can't sing. Like, I would love to like lead like Soundgarden or Pearl Jam.
Right.
But I can't sing. Like, I could do Zach De La Rocha in the sense that I could
rap.
I could do that. Yeah. I can make the sound. But no, you can't lead. It's been proven. Right now, Rage Against the Machine has Chuck D and Be Real, and the music is not good.
Yeah, it's not great.
You know what I mean? Like, as much Zach De La Rocha did, and Chris Cornell took over Audioslave.
Yeah.
And it was not Rage. Like, Zach De La Rocha is so dope that there's three great artists that can't fill his fucking boots, dude.
Yeah, I think Audioslave definitely did something different.
Absolutely.
I mean, Rage Against the Machine wanted to do something different, so the members of the band, they did something different with Chris Cornell. So Audioslave was a distinct sound.
Yes.
It was still, it sounded like Tom Morello, but it wasn't Tom Morello Rage. Mm-hmm. It was Tom Morello Audioslave. And now with Prophets of Rage, I think they're trying to be a Rage knockoff.
Well, yeah, they even have it in
Prophets
the
of Rage. And it's just not working.
Tom Morello,
which bums me out, because when I heard about it, I was like, dude,
I
fucking
knew it was
super
work.
Band.
I knew it
wanted,
wasn't going
to
work.
I wanted it to work. Chuck D, Be Real.
See, it's like they tried to make their own Zach De La Rocha. They got Chuck D for his political knowledge.
Yep.
And then they got Be Real for his writing ability. So they're like, well, if Chuck writes and Be Real spits, that's Zach De La Rocha. No, it's not. It's not.
No,
it's
not. It's fucking ferocious.
And neither one of them
tenacity.
Will scream the way Zach screams. Like, it's just, it's not it's happening. The and the music isn't
soul.
Good. I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, it's not good. Prophets of Rage is not good. I would love to see them. But I would be watching them knowing, like, I'm here to see Rage. I'm here to look at Timmy. I'm here to see Brad. And I'm here to see Tom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But two quick stories. I have Stone Temple Pilots story and then a cover band story. You're talking about how dope of a cover band you could be to fit in somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Stone Temple Pilots story, I was seeing them somewhere small. I want to say it was like the Roxy or maybe the Whiskey, somewhere like that in Hollywood. And Scott Weiland had just got out of rehab and someone threw a beer up on stage. And Scott told him, like, hey, you fucking asshole, I just got out of rehab. Like, you can't be doing this shit. I'm here to fucking put on a show. Don't be fucking throwing drinks up here.
Yeah, yeah.
The very start of the next song, someone else threw a drink up there, right? Thinking
people
they're funny.
Suck, man. Yeah.
Bass player took his bass off, and I think that dude learned why they called it an axe. He fucking swung down from the stage, hit that dude in the head, dropped his bass. Scott jumped in, and the full band jumped like these three dudes, beat the fuck out of him. Security came, dragged those dudes out. The band got back on stage and finished the show.
That's fucking dope.
Yeah, I was like 14 when I saw it.
Rock and roll!
Fuck yeah, dude. I was like, I want to be Scott Weiland when I grow up. Cover band story. I saw a U2 cover band in Hollywood, right?
Awesome.
And
awesome.
I was a little inebriated. And Bono came out. The U2, the cover Bono came out.
Cover Bono. Okay.
Yeah, he was like 5'5", right? And he had the big old Bono glasses, so he took up like half his face. My dumb ass, dude, just being drunk and obnoxious. And I was right in front, and I wasn't like yelling it, but I was telling who I was with, like, dude, I could whip Bono's ass. Like, because I was being silly because Bono was so little.
But who wants to fight Bono?
Yeah, right? Nobody. He's fucking Irish related, dude. He'd probably get shot up. So then after the band, we're sitting at the bar having a drink, and Bono comes up to me. He's like, hey, what's up, dude? I heard you could whip my ass. And he wasn't testing me. He was being funny, too. I was like, no, I didn't expect you to be so... And he ran out after the song started.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he was on stage and I saw him. It was just like, it took me back. He's like, no, actually, that's why I run out, because people don't take us serious when I start with the band. So like the band has to have the momentum going, because I don't fit Bono at all. So we're like hanging out, having a couple drinks, and then he's like, hey, we're all going to go party at my house. You want to come over? I was like, fuck yeah. So I told who I was with.
Party with Bono,
right? I was like, let's go. Dude, tell me why. It was in Hollywood, up a hill, like kind of behind the Comedy Store. We could see the girls, crazy girls strip club. Okay. From his patio.
Yeah, never been.
Like a fucking $9 million house. And I walk in, I'm like, Bono, this is your house? He's like, yeah, this is my house. I'm like, do you realize how fucking dope Bono is? And he's like, what are you talking about? I was like, Bono, real Bono is so dope. You got all this pretending to be him. Because yeah. This dude didn't have a day job. He wasn't like a computer programmer that led a band.
Yeah, some of these cover bands make fucking money, man.
Yeah, and it wasn't even the band's house. But that cover band is his band. Like, everybody else is kind of interchangeable.
Oh, okay.
He runs that. But I couldn't believe, like, someone could be so dope, you could pretend to be that person and get a $10 million house.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be fucking great. I can just imagine, like, someone pretending to be me and being rich off trying to be me.
Right. And what if they surpass you?
That's not possible. How fucking dare you?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, what if? But then you have every legal right to kill him, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There can only be one in this world.
What was that?
Fucking taking that dude out.
Bruce Willis time warping movie with...
If it's not Die Hard, then I'm not...
No, he doesn't time warp in Die Hard.
I'm saying it's not Die Hard. I don't know what the fuck it is. Oh, wait, no.
You know what it is. It came out just like 5 years ago. It's not that old.
Oh.
And then they're Looper. Hired. Yes, thank you. You could Looper your impersonator.
Oh, yeah, right. Like, fucking loop you out, bitch.
See, you were wondering where I was going with that.
Yeah, I was. I was like, what?
You need a football helmet too, sir.
I wasn't ready. If I could lead a band, it would be Limp Bizkit.
Yeah?
Hands
you
fucking
like
down.
Them so much.
I love Limp Bizkit.
It's like the one character flaw that I give you. I love you so much, and I think Limp Bizkit is terrible.
I love Limp Bizkit, man.
Though they are owners of one of the few cover songs that I think the cover band did it better than the original.
Which is that?
The I Gotta Have Faith.
Oh, yeah.
I think he did it way better.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
And then the other one is Jimi Hendrix to Watchtower. That's originally a Bob Dylan song, I believe.
Oh,
and he
really?
Does it way better than Bob Dylan.
I can see that.
But yeah, that's why. You are
why
a huge
why,
Limp Bizkit
why do
fan.
People hate Limp Bizkit so fucking much?
Because Fred Durst is hateable.
Understandable, but that doesn't change the music.
No, but that's why. No, I don't know, man.
Have you heard of a band called Lost Prophets?
Yes.
Okay. You heard about what happened to the lead singer?
It didn't what happened to him. It's what how he happened
yeah, okay.
to people.
Well, yes. And I'm not to negate
yes.
his
I have a crazy
horrible fucking choices.
Lost Prophets.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Too.
You got into a fight with them, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I got in a fight. Me myself with all five Lost Prophets.
That's
until
awesome.
My band jumped in.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But my point being is like Lost Prophets. Okay, the dude, the lead singer's name was Ian.
Okay.
He was a baby fucker.
Yeah.
And now he's being fucking ass raped in prison.
Yep.
So go fuck himself. But I love Lost Prophets. I love that band. I listen to all their albums, and I still love that music. And
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I don't like that genre of music.
Right.
So, like, a lot of people that like that, but I don't, I'm so not
but,
like.
But should I feel bad for being a fan of a band that was led by
a baby
fucker?
Do you? I mean, should you? I don't know.
I feel like I'm able to separate the two. Like, I'm not a fan of this person. Like, he did horrible, horrible things. And I hope he rots in hell for it. But the music,
the art of
his band. I mean, not to take anything away from the guitar player, the drum player, and everyone else. They contributed great music, and the music that he wrote, the lyrics that he wrote, you know, they weren't about fucking babies. So I don't feel guilty about it. I'm a fan of Lost Prophets. I'm not a fan of that guy.
Yeah. No, so, I understand the difference.
So going back to Limp Bizkit, like, I heard, you know, Fred Durst is a douche. Sure. But, man, he can control a fucking crowd, man.
Yeah.
He's a great fucking front man.
And I don't like to say too often whether or not I do or don't like a band without seeing them live, because I fell in love with hockey when I went to my first hockey game. Before that, wasn't a big hockey fan. Everybody I've ever taken to a hockey game says like the next day they're watching hockey. So I don't like to judge shit without like, dude, I bet you a Limp Bizkit show is probably dope as fuck.
Oh my God, it's the fucking greatest thing. Whenever they're in town, I go.
Yeah.
I get so injured because I am not meant for mosh pits.
Yeah.
But man, I cannot resist like fucking the Pied Piper, man. I run right in.
Yeah, I love mosh pits.
Yeah, I would love to fucking lead the Limp Bizkit cover band. If anyone out there that wants to make a Limp Bizkit cover band, let me know.
That would be fun.
I'd be the front man, the shit out of that. That'd be great.
Go back to that question. That is a great question. So when you have an artist that ends up being a fucking, like, not, so most artists are twisted in their own way, right? That's where the art comes from.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it's somebody that's been hurtful, especially to you children, adult to adult, when I see Marilyn Manson fuck someone up on stage, I'm kind of like, well, you're at a Marilyn Manson show and you made yourself stand out to the point where he fought you on stage. That's weird. You're probably a douchebag, right? But when you find out, like, our children are innocent.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, like, what if, I mean, there's plenty of painters that molested little boys that we regard fucking great painters of all time, right?
Yeah.
So, like, where does that split come in? And then in our day and age, you being a fan of Lost Prophets, like, downloading their music doesn't support them, but buying an album does. You know what I mean? Now you're not supporting him baby fucking, but you're probably making it easier.
Probably.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So where is that line? Does that, can you be a fan? Can you ethically be not disturbed by being a fan of such a hurtful person?
I would definitely disturb when I found out. I was like, nah, dude, that, fuck, man. Like, I really enjoyed this fucking band.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have to, like, I feel like I have to defend myself, kind of like right now.
Yeah.
I have to defend myself and explain myself for enjoying the music and singing along to the music and finding such influence from the music, and then having to explain, oh yeah, well, he's actually in jail now, riding away because he got convicted of having sexual relations with babies.
Well, because we're going to find out, especially right
it's
now.
It's fucking horrible. Like, fuck,
with
man,
the way the dominoes are falling in Hollywood. Horrible. Everyone that you loved is gonna be a rapist by the end of the day.
Fucking John Lasseter, man.
Who's John Lasseter?
He's the creative genius behind Disney's second renaissance. He's the dude behind Pixar and...
Oh, okay, the digital...
Yeah, man.
And what did he do?
He's accused of, like, sexually harassing women.
See, okay, so I gotta figure out what... When they're accused of sexual misconduct and sexual harassment. Because sexual misconduct could be, like, just a shot and a miss.
I understand them as the same.
No, I don't think it's the same.
What's misconduct?
Like, misconduct could be, like, you were in a position of authority, and you tried to fuck someone, they said no, and you're like, oh, okay, my bad. But sexual harassment is, like, grabbing someone, or... And this is me talking through me. This isn't, like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna have to Google it.
Google it.
No, because I think, like, sexual misconduct, like, every male has done some sort of sexual misconduct at one time or another. Now, you take that rejection, and you walk away. Like,
well, is there a difference between, like, making an advance and then being rejected, or, like, walking out of your hotel room in a bathrobe jacking off?
There's got to be a difference in that. So,
yeah,
if someone in a position of authority...
That's how I approach, and hopefully she accepts my invitation to join me in my bed.
No, see, that's... If you're in a position of authority and you try to fuck someone under your authority, that's sexual misconduct. You shouldn't be doing that. You're in a position of higher authority. Okay? Now, okay, if you have that person go up to your room and you're in a robe and then you jack off into a fucking flower pot, like, that's more than misconduct. But I think anyone in a position of authority that tries to have an intimate relationship with somebody that they're in charge of is misconduct. Now, if you force them into it, you know, I think that's...
Rape?
Well, I mean, because you can't say that he raped anyone, right?
No, I think... the thing is, I'd want to say, like, harassment is just any unwanted advance.
But every advance at some point is pretty much unwanted. I mean...
Right. I hit on Daisy, and I think because she was feeling it, she, you know, she accepted, and, you know, we continued on, and we are. But I think if I go to, like, you know, a bar and just hit on a girl, and she just rejects it, I think it's the manner of which that I
did
it.
Yeah, you did it as a gentleman, and she rejects it.
Or not even a gentleman. I mean, gentlemen are kind of rare nowadays, unfortunately. But even just saying, hey, what's up? What's good? And they're like, nah. And then he's like, okay, cool. And then
that's not sexual harassment.
Exactly. Yeah. But if I go on and say, yo, what's good? You know, look at, and you just make them feel uncomfortable through your advancement.
You can harass someone. Yeah.
Then that's harassment.
Okay. But now if you were in a position of authority, exact same scenario happened, right?
Yeah.
You went, hey, what's up? They're like, no, not cool. And you're like, okay, sorry. That's, to me, it's still sexual misconduct.
That's misconduct because, yeah.
You shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, given your position, definitely misconduct. Yeah.
And maybe it's not even sexual misconduct. Maybe it's a workplace misconduct.
Ethical misconduct, man. Yeah, just
I don't know, man. But, like, you know this pendulum's going to swing. So, like, every day it's someone else and someone else. Yeah. I can't wait for someone to accuse Ron Jeremy. Like, oh, Ron Jeremy.
He fucked me at work.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Yeah, but this was when we worked at Subway.
That's different football.
His name was Jared.
Oh,
that guy's still in prison again. Well, I mean, he's for life, right? He got like 280 years.
I fucking hope so. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. See, and that's another. Oh, did he fuck kids or just maintain kid pornography?
I think he'd maintain kid pornography.
See. Oh, what about the Las Vegas shooter's brother? The one that I don't know the full extent of this dude, right?
Right.
But from what I've learned and what I've looked into, he pretty much just maintained a stock of child pornography. That was kind of his shit. But he was quiet. He laid low. He didn't fuck with anybody. And then his brother goes and shoots 4,000 rounds from a hotel in Las Vegas.
Right.
And the feds show up like, hey, dude, we need everything you've ever communicated with your brother through. We're going to take your phone. We're going to take your computer. We're going to check out. And then they open up his computer. And he was just a lonesome, mind your own business child pornographer keeper. He didn't create it. He didn't.
Yeah. He just collected it.
By being a market for it, you help create it, obviously. Right, I'm not defending that. But imagine being that fucking piece of shit, dude. Like, he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison because his brother did that shit. And he looked at kiddie porn at home.
Fucking douche, man. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, every day it's someone new, and it's kind of weird because it is kind of political. It is kind of opportunistic for some women.
Is this like a lashback at liberals? Because most of Hollywood, you know, is liberal. Is this like a conservative partly motive?
Partly, like, they're definitely fanning the flames, but at the same time, it doesn't take away from the fact that.
That it's real.
It's real. They're being dicks. Harvey Weinstein. I mean, everyone was like, yeah, we kind of knew about that.
Not kind of. I just thought that was like, did you never hear someone say like, who do you got to blow to get a drink around here? Who do you got to like, those are Hollywood references to like, oh, you got to fuck your way to the top. You got to fuck yourself to results.
Yeah. And it shouldn't be that way. So I'm kind of glad that they're finally fucking addressing it and whatnot.
I think that Harvey Weinstein should write a book about the ones that did. That said, hey, I'll fuck you for that role.
Yeah.
And then every single agent that sent him an actress. Because every agent knew. That's crazy to me.
Totally.
You know, you're going to go see Harvey and you're going to fuck him for this part.
He's going to bounce back some way. I mean, it's Hollywood's Hollywood, man. They'll eat their own fucking young.
Even if he doesn't bounce back, he's fine. But I just think that, like.
I don't want him to. I mean, he's a piece of shit. But, you know, I'm just saying that Hollywood is Hollywood. And no matter what, there's. In Hollywood, people love seeing heroes rise to the top. They love an underdog, but then they also love to see a hero fail, and then they love to see that hero come back on top.
See,
again.
I feel
it's
like
fucking
that,
horrible.
That will happen for Louis C.K., but not for Harvey Weinstein.
No, not for Harvey Weinstein.
I think Louis has a future coming back.
I do as well. And I think, you know, like Senator Al Franken.
Yeah.
So he got popped because
he's
made.
Fucked.
But here's the thing, though. With Harvey Weinstein and the other people that were being, you know, alleged with misconduct and harassment and so on and so forth, they all got fucked over, and they're serving their rightful sentence within the court of public opinion.
Yes.
Now, someone like Senator Al Franken, we had those photos with Leanne Tweeden, and he's like, they didn't make contact with her, but, you know, he's playing along, he's being a dick.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? Comedians were dicks.
Yes.
That's just what we are. Not to excuse it. But that's just kind of the nature of the beast. We're assholes. We're dicks. We're inappropriate. That's what comedy is. It's inappropriate.
Yes.
So, however, what I applauded on his behalf was how he owned up to it. And he's like, yep, that was really bad. It was inappropriate. It's not funny. And I fess up to all of it. And went as far as saying, yeah, there should be an ethics investigation. Investigate me.
Yes.
Fucking just do what you got to do. Investigate the situation. Do what you got to do to look into it and fucking owned the situation. He owned the fucking situation. He apologized to her. He apologized to his constituents. He apologized to everyone. But then what pushed me over to be a fan of Al Franken, not only just his positions politically, but the fact that he was like, investigate me. Absolutely. You know, there's an ethics investigation. Investigate the shit out of me. Do what you do. Do what your process is. I cannot think of anyone else that did that.
The reason I think he's fucked is because he's already barely taken seriously. Now, if you read Al Franken or listen to him, you'll find out he is a huge source of American history. He's so intelligent, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
He's so smart, and he knows his history, and he is for sure a benefit to America there in his seat.
I agree.
But because of where he came from, he's barely taken seriously. And he is, like, a social weirdo. He is a weird fucking dude.
And again, because we're just broken people.
Yeah, well, and on top of, I think that there's something more back there. Like, okay. I think that we'll find out later. But I just think he was on such thin ice. Now, the good thing is he's Minneapolis, right?
Yeah.
They're known for working outside the box.
Okay.
So hopefully his people love him enough. But as far as taking his career any further, and he's probably going to have to lay low the rest of his Trump, you know, term.
Well, I mean, I don't think so. Because when they try to compare apples to apples, you know, Trump's president, he denied everything, never fessed up or said, yeah, I made bad decisions.
Yeah, where was all this shit, like all this fucking blowback when it was grabbing the pussy? Why was that fine?
Exactly. And that's the hypocritical thing that everyone's talking about right now. It's like, oh, you know, Al Franken should be investigated. He should be removed from his seat. He should be da da da. And the fucking Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the White House press secretary, she was saying the difference being is that Al Franken fessed up to it. Trump never fessed up to it. So because he never fessed up to it, he's innocent.
Yeah. And even though, like, there's audio.
Wow. Like, this is fucking bullshit, man. I'm just... And if the hammer's going to come down on Franken, then the hammer has got to come down on Trump.
It period. Doesn't, though.
And it doesn't. And that's the frustrating thing. And that's why, you know, it needs to be discussed. It's like, you know, what the fuck, man? What the fuck, America? You can't pick sides. And it goes back to the whole Roy Moore thing. You can't say, you know, Roy Moore was 30 years old and fucking around with 14-year-old girls, and that was cool because we want to make sure he gets a Republican Senate seat.
I heard that.
It's fucking horseshit,
man.
They
were keeping his approval, above the 20 percentile, because if it dropped into the teens, they were worried he was going to try to fuck it. What kind of grown man gets banned from the mall, bro?
That was funny.
He was banned from the mall.
Yeah.
The local police know him for being a pedophile.
Yeah. And it's fucking crazy. And in America...
And who the fuck is he? Where did he come from? I don't even know what his position is.
Alabama, man. He just,
but what is he? Is he a senator or a congressman?
He's running for senator.
He's running for senator.
Former district attorney.
Alabama. Alabama, you know, is the... they have the number one... I don't know what to call it. Percentile for...
bad decisions?
No. For like rocket scientists. All the human genome is being mapped in Alabama. All the new rocket programs are in Huntsville, Alabama. Like, all the biggest scientists awesome. In America are in Alabama right now.
Right on.
Working.
Well, shout Alabama's out Alabama, man.
You know what Arkansas's state slogan is?
We wish we were Alabama?
No, it's thank God for Mississippi. Because they're like 49th in everything, and Mississippi's 50th.
Man, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things like, fuck, dude. Like, it shouldn't be party over country, man. Just country. Or not even country, just fucking humans.
Country.
Stop fucking fessing, like, sticking up for people that don't deserve it.
I invited Kevin Spacey to the wedding because I felt like he needed friends.
I think he needed just to get out of the house.
He didn't show up. He probably saw it was going to be no kids.
I saw that. You said you were inviting C-list celebrities to your wedding.
Yeah.
Who did you invite?
So I got bored one night and I just got on Twitter and started inviting C-list celebrities. I invited John Stamos. And I saw an interview on Jimmy Kimmel like 5 years ago that he likes making pizza now. Like, okay. He has a pizza oven at home. Yeah. So I told him, like, hey, bring a fucking pizza, bro. Like, why don't you come down? And then I invited Andy Dick just because, he's going through some shit and he probably needs friends. And then I invited someone else, like some other like hot male dude. And then I was like, I got to stop inviting these single male bachelors. They're all going to want to fuck Natalie. If John Stamos shows up to my wedding, yeah. Natalie's like, I could leave with John Stamos and he'll make me pizza. I don't stand a goddamn chance.
You don't
bro.
Have a fucking chance against Uncle Jesse.
No,
bro.
I don't, dude. So then when nobody answered, I kind of started to like, oh, I started to tweet like, oh, all these fucking C-list celebrities won't give me no love. And I kind of started to talk shit on him, you know? And then I told Uncle Jesse, I was like, that's one show I won't ever fucking watch again. And then Andy Dick, the only response I got was Andy Dick hearted my invite.
No, he didn't, really?
Yeah, he did.
He did?
Yeah. So.
That's progress.
Much love to you, Andy
Shout
Dick.
Shout out Andy Dick, man.
At least, I got fucked up with Andy Dick at Jimmy Kimmel's house one time. And Marilyn Manson. Weirdest fucking, one of the weirdest nights of my life.
No, you're fucking lying.
No, I swear to God.
I swear to God. Yep. We got time for this story. We're going to do the story and then we're going to close out.
Okay, I went through this time when I was like, kind of just dating these little wannabe Hollywood model girls that ended up just being like the audience in Maury Povich. That they're like paid extras, you know? And we went to a house party one time, and it was like so fucking bougie. And so I was sitting out on the balcony drinking, and some guy comes up to me. He's like, hey, what are you drinking? I was like, gin. He's like, oh, let me get some of that. And I look up, and it's Marilyn Manson. Not dressed as Marilyn Manson, but dressed as fat, white Marilyn Manson.
Right.
Just regular Marilyn Manson. So him
Brian
and I were drinking.
Warner or some shit like that.
Yeah. And I played for a while. Like, I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
So we just bullshit. And we're talking. And he's like, hey, dude, we're going to get the fuck out of here. We're going to go to a friend of mine's house and go fucking drink and hang out. Why don't you come down there? I was like, all right, cool. So then I went and told the person. I was like, hey, dude, we got to get the fuck out of here. We're going to go party with Marilyn Manson. Like, all right, rad. So then we literally followed him. Like, he didn't give me a number or anything. We followed car to car.
Don't fucking lose him.
Yeah. And so then we get up to
run
this,
the red. Take the red.
This other house. And it's fucking huge. You got to, like, drive. The driveway goes up into the house, you know? And we pull in. And then he's like, oh, it's a homeboy. I was like, you sure? It's cool. He's like, yeah, it's a homeboy. Mine. Don't worry. We go in. He's not saying homeboy. That's me telling.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And open the door. And Jimmy Kimmel's on the couch. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? He's like, hey, what's up, man? I was like, oh, I'm a friend. I came with. He's like, yeah, cool, cool. No, so he starts making everybody drinks and shit. And then I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm super lost. Is this your house? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, cool. At Jimmy Kimmel's house, he's making me a drink right now. And then Andy Dick was there, and also Tim Robbins was there. And Tim Robbins, turns out, he's a huge
Shawshank
poetry
Redemption.
Fan. Yes, Shawshank. He's a huge poetry fan. So him and I talked poetry for a while, and he listened to some of my poems.
All right, on.
Right?
Shawshank fucking A. Yes. What do you think?
I don't know. He's a very nice man. So I don't really know what he thought, but he portrayed that he liked him. And then I saw after that he started a poetry troupe, and not because of me, but he took more steps in his appreciation for poetry, and now he runs a poetry troupe with teenagers and stuff that he helps out.
Is it called Motion?
No,
in Motion?
I don't know what it's called. It's called Shawshank Redemption. I don't know what it's called. but I noticed that, and it's like, you're so stupid to think like one day, like, hey, remember me? I did that poem. Like, if I ever ran into him, so
he might.
Yeah, or might, but probably not.
There's a greater probability of him not remembering.
Exactly.
But there's a small probability. How fucking badass would that be, right?
Right? That'd be fucking rad.
We were having drinks at Jimmy Kimmel's house, and
then
we did
he makes
poetry.
Me his personal assistant, and we get a reality show?
Yeah.
Fucking A, man.
You gotta fucking say hi to Tim Robbins.
Yeah. How do I do? Maybe I'll tweet Twitter. Here. Let's start another wedding.
Hey!
So that, oh,
I know
yeah.
the wedding.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yep.
Invite him over.
So that was that.
Start that hashtag. We're going to start that hashtag.
C-list celebrity wedding invites. But
I love it. I just feel like this is going to go really well.
I was reminded of my mortality. I was reminded of my love for my bride, my appreciation of my friends. And in about 6 hours, I'll be reminded of my passion for travel. And we're going to be on an airplane on our way to Miami in a little
Miami,
bit here,
man. So what a fucking fantastic way to celebrate 1 year since we started the podcast.
Right?
It's been an official. This is the 1 year anniversary episode.
Hey, for our ugly sweaters, you want to wear a sweater with a picture of me and I'll wear one with a picture of you?
Yes.
And that'll be our ugly sweaters?
Yes.
And then on the back, let's take pictures of our butts and put them on the back so everybody who looks at our back sees our butt. So silly.
I like where this is going.
My niece laughs, and when she laughs, she lays down and kicks her legs. I was like, who fucking laughs like that, like a cartoon? So then I did it. It feels so good to laugh like that, bro. Now I just laugh like that all the time.
Just do it all the time.
When I'm at the shop and someone says something funny, I just lay down and start kicking my legs, like olive oil or some shit, like Popeye getting tickled. Such a good time, man.
Well, thank you guys for listening to the Social Nuisance Podcast. It's been a fucking weird-ass year brought by the 2016 election. I think we covered a lot of important things.
Uh-huh.
Most of which not really that important, as we discovered.
Yeah, nothing matters, bro.
You know what I have been super happy with the podcast is every time someone listens to us, Backtrack that. Whenever I tell someone, hey, we do a podcast, they're like, oh, that's cool. Nice. Low expectations. Kind of like to say, like, hey, I'm a rapper. Like, oh, that's cute. You're a rapper? That's cool. Let me hear some stuff.
Yeah.
And then you actually play some stuff for them. They're like, oh, shit, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
That's kind of the general reaction we get for the people with the podcast.
Everybody I know that has listened to it might not catch every episode, but continues to listen to it.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? But you can always just jump in at some point in time, and then, you know, you don't really miss much because we're talking about whatever the fuck we're talking about.
Yeah.
But thank you, everyone, for just listening to the podcast this past year. We're really excited what we're doing, and then we're excited for what we're going to continue to do. And as Motion was mentioning, we're definitely going to do the fucking ugly sweater Christmas party.
Word.
So stay tuned for that shit, and we will see you when Motion gets back from his fucking
Miami
honeymoon.
Yep. I'm going to walk around like Pablo Escobar. Babo Escobar.
Babo Escobar.
That's me.
Coming to you live from Miami. Until next time, we'll see you guys in the next time. Next show, Social News Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Mother Beaches. Wendy Williams, out. That was so funny when we did that last time.